Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have a special guest that I met on LinkedIn. Her name is Shabana Safdari, and she's from South India. And I was just so attracted to her posts on LinkedIn. I could see that there was a purity of intention. I could see there was a kindness. I could just feel that she is the kind of person I wanted to get to know. It's interesting how vibrationally that can actually come through posts. I'm sure you've all experienced this. And I didn't actually know the depth of it or why I felt that way until I talked to her for this 45-minute segment that you're about to listen to. And now I have an explanation for what the initial attraction was on LinkedIn. There's a goodness, there's a purity, there's a positivity, there's a kindness that I think the world needs right now. I'm sorry to say, but there's so many people, so many of us, myself included, willing to point the finger of what everybody's not doing right. You know, this isn't going to work out and that isn't going to work out and you're not enough and you're not doing enough and you need to, you know, do better. Like there's so much of that, especially in the yoga world, strangely, from very dysregulated beings, you and me and a lot of people in the yoga world. It's just very dysregulated and people are really trying to crush one another. So when I saw this purity, this sweetness, this kindness that I recognized from my teachers in South India, I could feel that thread. I knew that Shabana understood the deeper teachings of yoga, which are all on the Vijnanamaya layer of the human system, the personality layer, the wisdom layer, that part of us that is much deeper inside, that is sattvic, that is in balance, that knows what's real and what's unreal. So I'm really happy to help you all get to know Shabana. But what I want you to pay attention to as we move through this next few minutes together is, how do you feel vibrationally when you listen to her, when you connect with her? And maybe she's not your cup of tea, maybe she is. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we all start moving towards the people that are more regulated, more balanced, happier, spreading joy, spreading goodness, spreading peace. This is the revolution. I know we think that somehow to create a revolution, we have to hurt other people in order to evolve society. But I'm going to argue just the opposite, that we can create a revolution of our societies by being kind, by being sweet, by calling up our neighbors, by helping the elderly, by being nice to one another. I think, you know, that is actually what's going to create the revolution, both in the yoga world, but also in the world that we all live in together. All right, let's go meet Shabana. And I think you're really going to love this conversation. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour Season 9. When I had this idea about a year ago that we could take an entire year for all of you to come on the podcast and tell your stories, I had no idea how overwhelming the response would be and how amazing it would be to get to know so many of you, our faithful listeners. I've gotten to know friends and see faces and connect with hearts, all so many people that I didn't even know were out there, people just like you and I. I'm so grateful. And the response has been so large that I can't take any more stories for the rest of the year. There's many weeks where I have two podcasts every Thursday scheduled for recording to try to respond to this wonderful thing of having so many people willing to share. So we're no longer needing anyone to sign up for telling your story. If you really feel strongly, I could put you on a waiting list in case someone cancels. And I want to thank all the people who came forward to make this year on the Yoga Therapy Hour so successful. I'm so grateful to you. All right, let's go meet our guest for today and hear another story. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour, Shabana. So nice to see you this evening.
Thank you, Annie. It's a blessing to be here today. And being able to talk to you and also sharing my story with all those who are watching or listening right now or in future.
Shabana, where in the world are you? We like to have our listeners feel like they're having tea with us and they can kind of imagine where we are. So where are you?
So I'm from Bangalore, India. So Bangalore is in the south of India and I live in Bangalore.
Have you lived there your whole life?
No, I'm basically from Ahmedabad, which is in Gujarat, which is west of India. And after I got married, I moved to Bangalore, but I have been here since almost 23 years. So yeah, I'm a Bangalorean now.
It's home now.
Yes, absolutely. It is home.
So Shabana, let's start from the beginning. How did you discover yoga?
Okay, so I will have to go back to 2014. But before I start with 2014, I would like to give more about my background.
Sure.
I was a person who was never into fitness, sports, or anything till the age of 36, I would say. And what happened in 2014 changed my life. So my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2014. And that was the time I developed nesophobia, which is the anxiety of getting illness or getting cancer. And I was under a lot of anxiety at that point in time. I even considered getting a preemptive surgery done, like a mastectomy, to avoid or prevent getting cancer. Because my maternal side of the family, few of them who's already had cancer, breast cancer, especially in the past, so that DNA gene is there in my family. So I was considering getting a gene test done. And if it was positive, I would have gone for a mastectomy or something. But that was the time exactly when my husband told me to take a leap of faith and leave it on God to decide my destiny. Rather than getting a test done and then worrying constantly, what if I have the same genes and what will happen if it gets activated and I might die of cancer. So I took his advice and I left God to decide my destiny. But I took one decision at that point in time, and that was to take my health in my hands and create that right environment in my body so that my body thrives with health and happiness, rather than, you know, activating some gene which causes cancer in my body. So I decided, let me go and try a yoga class. I was not knowing what yoga is all about. I just knew, okay, they do some practices, maybe something like exercise or something. And so I went to join a yoga class. And first few days I went and I started noticing that migraine frequencies started reducing. And I started feeling more happier from inside, and that fear and anxiety started reducing. And that's when I decided that I want to learn this practice in more depth. And I changed my yoga class, went to another class. On the very first day after my class, my teacher came to me and he proposed that my body is naturally very flexible and I should go for a teacher's training course. At that point in time, I just refused saying no. I'm just here for deepen my practice as a student and just to learn yoga for day-to-day practices. But then I kept pondering over it. And after 3 months, I started with my first TTC in 2015.
So many bits that I'm curious about. So first of all, what did you call the anxiety of getting cancer? I missed that word.
Yeah, it's called nesophobia.
Nesophobia.
Yeah, that is a kind of a phobia in which a person will think they might get some illness. So it's not necessary that it can be a anxiety of getting cancer. It can be any illness. Sometimes, you know, people are just like, oh, I'm going for a blood work, but I'm worried. What if this comes positive or what that comes positive? You know, what if this is out of range? They just have that fear, without even knowing whether they have it or they don't have.
Okay. So that was my first question. Yes. Second question, When your husband said, please leave it to God, and you decided you were going to take charge of your health, had you been a religious or spiritual person prior to being able to give that up and surrender it to God?
I was always a religious person, but spirituality, what does it mean? I never knew at that point in time.
So for you, it was the God of your religion.
Yes, it was the God I follow, Islam, and I felt that I should leave it on Allah to decide my fate.
Wow. And I love that you were willing to give that up while at the same time say, but I am in a human body. I do need to take care of this human body. I can't just sit around and do nothing, that this is a beautiful gift that I'm in charge of taking care of. So to go from not being athletic, as you say, not doing a lot of sports, to now you're in yoga class and you're actually being chosen by the teacher to say, you have the potential to be a yoga teacher.
Exactly. So that was the day I feel my teacher saw that spark in me, which I never knew existed.
And I want to tie that back to you putting your faith in God. It seems to me there could be a connection between you showing up in this yoga class and then the teacher kind of plucking you out and saying, okay, we have a new path for you in this lifetime. What do you think of that?
So, Annie, I would also like to relate this to something else. I had an intent since I was quite young that I wanted to do some social service, social work in my life. But I always used to think before I got into yoga that I don't have any such skills where I'll be able to help people. Now I can connect the dots. When you have a right intention, universe conspires to make it happen, to help people.
Our audience doesn't know this, but I met you on LinkedIn just because I love your post. I feel that purity of intention coming through your post. There's like a vibration that of all the posts I see come across my feed, with yours, there was something pure about it. Not just stewardship of yoga, but wanting to help people. It just was so clear to me. So, talk a little bit more about your intention around wanting to help people and be of service.
So before I talk about that, I would also like to tell you why I got into yoga therapy, especially after my TTC. Because while my first TTC was going on in 2015, I was at the yoga center, and that's where I got my first vertigo attack. And I was
Vertigo.
in a, yes, that was the first time I experienced vertigo. I never knew before that what vertigo means or what happens to a person. And I was so dizzy for the next 1 week. I had lost my balance. Of course, I was taking the medicines prescribed by the ENT, but they were not helping me. I was literally walking in the house holding the walls, and I felt at that point in time that now I'm going to be constant, always dependent on others, to do anything in my day-to-day life. And that's exactly when my teacher, who was teaching me the TTC, called me up and she said that as it is, you're not able to come to center for the TTC classes, but I would suggest you come to the center and attend the yoga therapy classes. I said, okay, fine, I can do that. So one of my batchmates used to come and pick me and drop me every day. And I started going to the yoga therapy classes in my institute. And within 1 week's time, I gained my balance back, my dizziness stopped. And I was back to complete normalcy. And that was the day when I decided that yes, yoga therapy is a very powerful and effective tool which can help people heal without any medicines. And that was the time when I took the decision that after my first TTC will get over, take the next course, and that will be yoga therapy for sure.
I mean, how do you explain that? People go for years with vertigo, and I know it has, different types of vertigo. I have many different causes, but when I hear you say that within a week you felt a whole lot better, it makes me think your vertigo must have been related to your nervous system and that maybe the yoga
Yes.
regulated your nervous system. Is that your theory?
Yes, absolutely. Because as I was doing the first TTC, I was back then a kind of a person who was very perfectionist, and I was under a lot of stress at that point in time because after 15 years of break, I had again started studying. And when I study, I always want to put my 100% into it. So I used to study really hard and put all my attention, and that used to create a lot of stress because at the same time, I had to take care of my family, going to the institute, then coming home, doing the assignments. And it was a lot at that point in time. My children were quite young. I have twins. So I was a
Oh
mom to
my.
a twins. Yes.
How old were the
That
twins during all of this?
point in time, they were in fourth grade.
Oof.
So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing. Also, many of our listeners are yoga teachers, and I think most of us are recovering perfectionists, as you say. And, whatever personality traits that we have coming into this career, we tend to replicate and start doing it again in yoga. You would think somehow the yoga would teach us to be more regulated and manage our stress levels better. But I see more often than not that we just bring our neuroses and start doing that in yoga, right? And for
Exactly.
me, it wasn't until yoga therapy that I was able to release those tendencies and personality traits. And I'm still working on it. But you know what I'm saying? Somehow I feel like the kind of exercise yoga, the kind where we're doing so many hard postures and testing ourselves with our pranayama, it can almost reinforce our perfectionism.
Correct. I agree with you, and back then I was so new that I had that thing in me that no, I have to be perfectionist. I have to score the highest. But now over a period of 10 years, I realized that it's all about learning and enjoying the process. That's it. It doesn't matter how much you score eventually, it is how much you absorb from your learning, how much you enjoy what you are learning. That is what matters, and how you can help others with that learning.
I completely agree. I mean, I can't tell you how many trainings we've done where people either they want the piece of paper, they want to score so high, they want to be seen and heard and, felt by everyone. But really, if we're not in sattva, while we are learning, what are we doing? Like the whole point is to become more sattvic so that we can be a healing presence. So we can't rush through our studies in tremendous rajas and tamas and then at the end of it be like, okay, and now I'm going to be sattvic. It's a process, don't you think?
Absolutely, it's a process. And when you yourself don't follow a sattvic lifestyle, how can you preach it to others? Otherwise, it's an hypocrisy that you are not following it, but you are just doing it for the heck of maybe visibility or growing your business or whatsoever you call it.
Yeah, this is the critique that they've given to me. And I wonder what you think of this, that this ability to stay regulated and to be sattvic, people say it's like for the privileged, that the normal person can't do that. And that we, as these yoga teachers, are basically setting them up for failure. And I have my response to that, but I'd like to hear yours first. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, so I would say that again, coming back to intent. So, when we have the right intent, everything is possible and doable. And we, as yoga teachers, have this responsibility on us to make people understand and educate them that yoga is not something which is only for those people who are highly flexible or who can do handstand and headstands. Those are one of the good asanas which people can practice. And even if they don't practice, it is absolutely okay because asanas is just one limb of eight parts of yoga. But unfortunately, people think when they hear the word yoga, it's all about asanas. And then if they hear asanas, they think if they do advanced asanas, then only you are doing yoga or you're progressing on that journey. But that's not what yoga is all about. Yoga is a much deeper ancient wisdom, which exactly fits into the modern lifestyle and the disorders that people are facing in today's lifestyle because of the changes. So coming back to following simple things is like changing your diet, coming back to simple diet. So as I said that I decided that point in time in 2015 that I will change my lifestyle. I'll give the right environment to my body. What I started doing was I started working on my mental health, my physical health, my emotional health, and most importantly, my diet.
I'd like to take just a moment away from the episode to tell you about something that's really precious to us here at the Optimal State. And that's our Monday night Sangha. There are so many of us that have come together for several years now on Monday nights. It's about an hour and a half class where we really set ourselves up for the week. We start with talking about one of the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali's, as it pertains to our topic of the month. So in November, that is kind of reflecting on 2025 and thinking about how to go inward for November and December and really settle ourselves before we move into the new year. So we'll choose Yoga Sutra that are all about reflecting, all about going inward. And then possibly towards the end of the month, talk about setting intentions with powerful manifestation, and how do we have a great 2026? So that's our topic for November. We do a little discussion, we do some postures, some breath work, a little bit of yoga nidra meditation, and then we come back at the end for another discussion. These are really potent sessions to start your week off right. We invite all of you. You can be there live or watch the recording, but we would love to have you with us on Monday nights, especially as we move into 2026. All right, everybody, let's get back to the podcast and thank you for listening.
So I learned one very interesting concept during my yoga therapy days. I used to go and stay at my university campus, and I am a student of S. Vyasa University. If you have heard, it's quite renowned, Swami Vivekananda Yoga University in Bangalore.
Yes, I know them well.
Yes, so I am a student of S. Vyasa, and the concept that I learned over there was serve to table. That's how you should eat your food. Means you cook it on your stove, and the moment it's ready, bring it to the table and eat it. So there is no reheating. You're eating freshly cooked meals, which has got a lot of prana, the life energy force in it. There are no preservatives because we don't want to store it for longer duration. It is not refrigerated, that the nutrients are already dead by reheating. And that's what I have been following since 2018, every day, in every meal.
Shabana, can we go to this place? Because I too am working on this and it is hard work. Like, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do all my morning routines and cook my breakfast. And then I have a simple way to do lunch and dinner so that I can cook in about 15 or 20 minutes and then eat. But that's because I work at home, that I can carve out these little pockets to make fresh food and eat. And I do feel so much better, and I can feel my prana is so much more happy, and I can move better, and I'm not in pain, and all of it. But that is not possible for a lot of people. What do you suggest to people who aren't working from home and can't take these pockets to make food?
So I can make it very simple. You have two choices. One, you can have your first meal of the day, your breakfast, as only fruits. I've also done a course on whole plant-based nutrition, whole grains and plant-based nutrition. And that's what I learned, to start your day with a fruits breakfast. And when I say fruits, it does not have to be a fruit bowl which has got a mix of all different types of fruits. Just stick to two fruits at a time. And that's it. Eat enough, as much as you want. Your stomach feels that now I'm full, and that should be your quantity. And that will give you fiber, high fiber. That will give you prana. It's also got good amount of proteins. And it's something very simple, which will not take your time in the morning, where you can save so much of time. Or the second option is, you can offer intermittent fasting, and you have your first meal by 12 p.m. And that's when you can have some cooked meal if you want. Now, the second meal, if you're having the breakfast, you can simplify it by having salads. Now, when I talk about salads, I don't mean something, it has to be very fancy on your plate with a lot of sauces and all. It can be very simple veggies like carrots, beetroots, radish, cucumbers, simple, which does not take time, and you can have them. And then you have your last meal, which can be a freshly cooked meal. By then, you are already done with your work, and you have some time to spend with your family, have a good meal together, sharing each meal together and sharing the stories of the day or whatever happened. And that makes it very simple.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And the only way to do this for people who are working full time is to keep it that simple. Like, otherwise,
Exactly.
we just fall off the wagon.
I have so many students from US, and I always guide them this way of eating and bringing about this change in the lifestyle or their food habits. And they really like it because they find it very simple and doable.
And even if you went to travel or went to a restaurant, there's always a way to choose fruit and salad. That's the thing that I like about it is no matter what environment I'm in, I could still always make that choice.
Absolutely. Wherever you are traveling, your first meal is fruits you can carry along with you, or you can buy it on the way, which is
Yeah.
very simple. Second is salad, which you will get easily everywhere. And the third, so it's all about being mindful about our choices in that and being mindful what we are feeding our body. Because I always believe that, we have cars and all that. We spend so much money on those cars. But what happens after a few years, that car becomes old and then we want to buy a new one and then we upgrade to a new car. But we all have only one body and that is our temple. And we should take care of it so well that till the last breath, this body is treated very well with self-love, self-care, and building up that right environment so that peace, happiness, and health thrives within.
You know, I've been studying with my teachers at the Krishnamacharya Yoga Mandiram, which is Chennai, India, not too far from you. And they've really been reinforcing to us lately that having a good attitude, a sweetness, a peacefulness, maitri, karuna, mudito, upeksha, these basic ideas of being a content sattvic person are the foundation of health, as well as maybe one day, way, way down the road, as well as enlightenment. But that the basic foundation of the building has to be basically a vijnanamaya layer, a personality layer, a way to show up as a kind, compassionate human being. What do you think of that?
So I give my students assignments to do on a daily basis. And those assignments include simple things like doing sunbathing daily in the morning. And in those assignments, one of the things which I give them is act of kindness. So when I say act of kindness, I always tell them that it's not about helping somebody monetarily. Act of kindness can be something as simple as calling up somebody who is ailing from some disease. Or just checking on your neighbor who is very old, check with them if they want something from the supermarket or something that you can help them with. Or it can be even sending one message to an old friend or a relative with whom you have never connected since years, and just asking them how they are doing. Because the act of kindness is so deep that it gives so much of happiness from within when we do something for somebody else without any expectation of fruits of action.
Can I ask a question? Because I believe this. I believe that not only does the elderly person or the sick person or the neighbor benefit, I believe that in doing that, we feel better. It's our human need to contribute to others, and it actually makes us feel good to have contributed. So I completely agree with you. And I could also see situations where you might be taken advantage of and people are not realizing the generosity that you're showing to them. Maybe they take it for granted. Do you have any advice in those situations, or does it not matter? Just keep doing your thing. It's the right thing to do. Carry on.
So I believe that you be you. Let them be who they are.
Yeah.
And if you're doing some act of kindness, you're not doing it with the intention of some return from that person, maybe in terms of appreciation or monetary or any other favor. You're just doing it because it makes your heart feel good.
Yeah.
Because you feel that as a karma yogi, it is the right action that you're doing by helping others.
Yeah.
And disappointment comes only when we attach some kind of returns for our actions.
Transactional.
When there is no, exactly, transactional. So when you don't do something with an intention of doing it as a transactional activity, then there is no disappointment and you continue doing it no matter what.
So, Shabana, I'm just reflecting right now internally in my own mind that you know the Yoga Sutra, you know the yoga philosophy so well that when I ask you a question, your mind goes to these ancient teachings. You have the wisdom to share. And I think that's one thing that we sometimes miss in the Western yoga and yoga therapy worlds is this idea of Vedic counseling, where you're actually know the teachings and the philosophy and the ancient texts so well that you can draw upon them to counsel your clients, your patients, your students. Do you feel that that's what you're doing? Like even as we're talking here, I can see that your answers are based in ancient teachings.
Absolutely. And my answers are based in ancient teachings because I firmly believe what I learn, I should implement first in my own life, and then I should preach others to follow that kind of lifestyle or that kind of thinking, bringing about the change in their mindset. And that helps reduce all the miseries that people go through.
And do you think people have to be ready for that mindset shift? Because it feels like something we can't force upon them, that they have to come and say, I'm ready for a change. I'd like a new perception, a new way of being. I'd like, at the very least, I don't want to suffer anymore. How can you help me?
So I would say when a new student comes to me, first of all, I never call my students clients because clients is a transactional thing. Students is when there is a connection built between a teacher and a student.
Yeah.
There is an energy exchange. It's not transactional. So when somebody comes to me, they always comes with issues. Either it can be pain in their body or it can be some emotional trauma that they are going through, depression, anxiety. So many issues people come to me with. So when they come to me, they are not aware that they can change their mindset. Because they only think about that problem which they have and they have come to solve that. Okay? But as a teacher and a therapist, it is my duty to make them aware whatever suffering they are having, either in terms of physical pain or emotional trauma, it is mainly because of the way they think. And that's where I help them to think right. I guide them how to keep changing their thoughts to positivity. I also tell them that yoga is not some magic wand, or I am not some magician, that day one you will come to my class and everything will change. But I can assure you, when you follow this path with discipline, day by day, you will start becoming a better person from within, and that will help you to overcome all these pains and emotional turmoils. And you will become a more sensible person who will have more emotional resilience. And that happens over a period of time when you're disciplined in your practice. Definitely it happens. And I have seen it in all my students.
And it's so different than kind of somehow the ways that we see yoga therapy in the West, which might be more like yoga therapy for trauma, yoga therapy for this or that. It's more of a holistic way of being that you're describing, which is you as a human being, a whole person, are going to start shifting and changing and getting more clarity and feeling more stable and more emotionally regulated. Those are the promises of yoga therapy, but they're not the ones we're marketing, strangely. Maybe we should market those.
Honestly speaking, my intention whenever I speak to somebody, what I want to do is I want to spread the traditional yoga throughout the globe. Because in West, people think yoga is all about doing asanas or postures and doing fast practices like vinyasa, the hot yoga, and then only you have done something. But that is not all about yoga. I want to spread the real traditional practices, and I want to help people live more happier and healthier lives by just bringing about simple changes in their lifestyle, in their way of thinking. That's what my intention is. So many of my students who come to me from US, they always tell me, oh, before coming to you, we have always gone to so many yoga studios in the West, in US especially. And we have never learned what you are teaching us. We have always done asanas, but what you are teaching, we never knew that also exists.
It's so needed in the West. And I think many people are moving past asana more into pranayama and meditation. I think, at least in the United States, in the last 25 years, we've started shifting towards the more subtle tools. But what we're not doing enough of, which is what I hear you talking about all day today, is learning the texts, understanding Vedic counseling, understanding the attitudes of how to show up in the world, those more kind of personality type things. The sweetness, the kindness, the compassion, the helping others, the checking in on people who need us, that somehow has not gotten through to us yet. And in fact, I think we've even gone the other way. We've turned very angry as a yoga community, which is a little strange, you know?
That's really strange. But I'm also a certified pranayama teacher. I've done my level one certification. Right now, I'm pursuing my level two certification. And I very strongly believe in the power of pranayama because I have so many students whom I have helped heal just only practicing pranayama.
Yeah, it's so
Because it
powerful. That's the most important tool that we have.
absolutely. But unfortunately, that has also been given the name of breath work. But there is a difference. In breath work, there is an exchange of gases, the carbon dioxide and oxygen. But when we talk about pranayama, it's all about the prana, how the prana enriches the whole body, how we awaken the dormant Kundalini Shakti, how we distribute that prana cultivated to the trillions of cells in our body through pranayama practices. It has got so much of depth, and it comes from the old ancient texts of Hatha Yoga Pradipika, Gyan Samhita, and then it is perfectly backed by science. When I do my pranayama learnings, we learn both. We learn the ancient wisdom, what has been talked about the pranayama in the ancient texts, and at the same time, the anatomy and the physiology of the body and understanding how it works and why it works, because that is very important. For me, I don't like to learn one practice only because maybe it's trending or maybe people think, oh, it's very beneficial. But how it is beneficial? It's very important to know that. And I can guide my students only when I am knowing how it helps, because that will deepen the faith of my student that, yes, this is what works. And they see the results, very soon they see. Even one class is enough. 30 minutes class or 20 minutes class is enough for a person to notice how from that fight and flight, they are in that calm and relaxed mode because the parasympathetic nervous system is activated.
Absolutely. I completely agree with everything that you're saying. I think it's such a tool that People just don't know the power of it yet. But don't you think that in the
Exactly.
next 10, 15, 20 years, I think there's going to be so much science behind it that it will be undeniable and everyone will start jumping on board with pranayama?
There is already a lot of science right now, also. We don't even need to wait for those 15, 20 years. Just we need to educate people. And that's my intention. And that's what I do through LinkedIn. I write about it.
I want to talk about your LinkedIn. This idea of you being a steward of these teachings and wanting to share it from your heart, as I said, it just comes through so clearly. It was that your intention was to sign up for LinkedIn and share some of the things you've learned?
So, I'm a person earlier before COVID used to believe that my work should speak for me and not my words. And so, I was never there on any social media platform. I never spoke about my work. I never posted any of my yoga picture before 2020. But in 2020, the day it was announced that there's a lockdown, and we got a community message that this is the time everybody should be doing breathing practices and it will help you. And the moment I read this message, I felt this is exactly what I know and this is how I can help people. But that was the time when I never had a tripod. I never knew how to go online. So what I did, I called a few of my friends and I told them I'm doing a Facebook Live. Please join my session. I want to try if I can do this. And without having a tripod, what I did, I took a long bottle of Coke, the 2 liters one, which was lying in my house. I placed a selfie stick inside, and I placed my phone on that selfie stick, which was falling off. And my son was constantly standing, holding it while I was doing the live for my friends.
My
And
goodness.
it worked. It worked. And after their session, they said, oh, yeah, it was perfect. It was flawless. You can do this. And immediately next day, I announced everywhere that I'm offering free classes to everyone. You come and join my Facebook group. Every evening, I'll be teaching you how to do yoga asanas to boost your immunity and breathing practices, which will help you. So when you have a right intention, everything falls in place. And I started helping people. Every evening, I used to take free sessions, and I helped so many people that.
And I love it that you didn't know how to do it. It wasn't perfect, but you did it anyway with that intention. I don't know if you feel this way, but when I look at your LinkedIn posts and how many people comment and how many people are following you, I mean, it's quite an impressive number of people considering you're not doing this in a transactional way. You're doing it in a I want to share way. Like so many people are attracted to that, I think.
Thank you so much. So then what happened when I realized that now it is important for me to have that visibility? Why? Not just to grow, but because there must be so many people who are looking for a person like me who can help them, but they are not able to reach me because I am not visible anywhere. And that's when I started my first social media account on an Instagram. I learned from a friend. She created my account. She took my pictures. She showed me how to upload on the stories and all. And I was there on Instagram for 3 years, on and off. But somewhere I was not very happy with the fact that within 30 seconds or 60 seconds, how do I pass on a message to them? And I am not some entertainer that I'm going to do some poses and just entertain them for 30, 60 seconds and catch their attention. That is not what I wanted to do. And I also wrote many times on Instagram, but what used to happen is people never used to read what I used to write. And when LinkedIn came and I realized that I should start an account on LinkedIn and I started writing and I started noticing that people are actually reading what I am writing and they are interested and they want to know more about it. And I was so happy that finally I found a platform where I can share my thoughts, I can share my knowledge, I can inspire people. Every morning I share one quote or something which is all about happiness, finding happiness within, finding motivation, how to be happy. And
I'm going to pull
evenings
up your
are
account.
post.
I want people to see this. If you're watching this on YouTube, we have it on all the audio podcasts, but we also have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, so this is my today, Monday morning post.
It says, whatever you do in life, make sure at the end of the day you're happy. Life is too short for stress and unhappiness. And it's true. Almost every post is such a dopamine boost. Heading into 10 days of intensive learning at my new abode. Signing off for now. See you all after mid-August. Everything is just so feel good. Maybe that's why I was so attracted to getting to know you a little bit because, gosh, in this world right now with all the challenges, we need someone to help remind us that it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. Keep your mindset correct. Try to do good for people. So thank you
So
for that.
I have something, one more interesting thing to share with you, I mean, before we end this.
Sure.
So now I have learned one more modality, and that is sound healing. And it's a very powerful modality to help people heal, to de-stress them, to improve their sleep quality. And I have done two intensive courses. I just came back last week from my second intensive course, which I went for 10 days to the north of India in Himalayas. And I did a one-on-one learning with my teacher of sound healing. And you will be amazed that sound healing works very well with the chakra system because the notes of Sarigama Padanisa, the sargam, is exactly with the location of each chakra from the root chakra till the Sahasrara chakra. And so when we integrate sound healing and yoga together, it is a perfect healing tool for anyone. And that is why I have curated a special program, including all my learnings from my pranayama level one and level two, from my yoga therapy, and from my sound healing courses, which is called my signature offering, the Rest Reset Method, where I help and guide professionals to reduce their stress, to sleep better, and to recover from a burnout, integrating yoga therapy, sound, and pranayama. I would
Wow.
not call it breath work, but yoga therapy, pranayama, and sound healing.
And when you say sound healing, do you mean chanting? Do you mean like sound bowls? Do you mean all of it?
Yes, so I mean both. It can be a combination of chanting along with the singing bowls, or it can be after pranayama, you take a person into a deep immersive sound bath or a sound healing. Sound healing can also be for releasing emotional traumas or repressed emotions, or it can also be for releasing muscular pains and providing that shifts to the students, or it can be for sleeping better because it works on brain entrainment. It changes our brain waves. Normally, we are in the beta state while talking and we are active. And through sound healing, we can transform from beta to delta and theta. So we are somewhere between delta and theta. So when you're in the delta state, you are in the meditative state. When you move to the theta state, you are in the deep rest state. And what happens is, this is like NSDR, the yoga nidra. Between the delta and the theta, you might drift off to sleep. Again, you come back. You might drift off. Again, you come back. And so there are many people who come to us and say, I'm sure you must have also experienced that. They say, no, meditation is not my cup of tea. I cannot sit in a lotus for so long. I can't meditate. It's a monkey mind. But to take them into that state of meditation, sound healing, sound baths play a very big role by immersing them into different kinds of sounds and taking them on that journey. And that's why I have come up with a special curated signature program of the Rest Reset Method.
And if someone wanted to find you and find out more about that, would they come to your LinkedIn page?
Yes, right now they can come to my LinkedIn page, but also my website is in progress. So very soon, be linking my website to my LinkedIn page where they will get to know all the details about how to book a session with me or what all my offerings are.
Great. So your LinkedIn page, I'm just going to show it one more time so people can find you.
Yes.
It's Shabana, Shabana, Safdari, Safdari, Shabana Safdari. So for now, they can find you there and leave you a message on LinkedIn.
Yeah, because I would love to pass on my knowledge to people either working online or offsite, you know. Because I do a lot of team outings, I do a lot of talks in the corporates, guiding them about how to bring about changes in the lifestyle and how to live a more happier and a healthier life. I do a lot of group events, sound baths and all. And I also take one-on-one classes. I have a lot of students who take one-on-ones with me because as we are yoga therapists, for therapy, we always need to work one-on-one. Yoga therapy cannot be offered in group classes. So, yes.
Well, thank you for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure to get to know more about you. And I just wish you all the best because I think the world needs more people like you that are shining the light and letting people know that there's hope and joy and sweetness. That's just as important as fighting the darkness, I think. So thank you so
Absolutely.
much.
Thank you so much. It was so kind of you to have me over here, Amy. And my intention is that whoever the listeners are and whatever they are going through in their life, there is hope when there is faith. And for that faith, just let the divine take care of it. Just surrender to the divine, which is a part of yoga. Ishvara Pranidhana, which means surrender to the divine. And I surrendered myself to the divine, and God changed my life from fear and anxiety to living a life full of purpose and meaning, helping others transform their lives, just the way yoga brought about the transformation in my life. So always stay positive, hopeful.
Such a beautiful story and encouragement because I know there's so many people out there right now that are trying to make really hard decisions about their life and their health. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shabana, for being with us today. And, Shabana and I stayed on a few minutes longer to continue our conversation. And one of the things that she said that I believe to be true is that so many people come to us in yoga therapy with physical ailments, high blood pressure, chronic pain, or maybe even mental health issues like anxiety or concentration. But she and I both agreed that the real work, why people stay for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, is mindset, that they learn over time a new perspective of how to live life, how to be in the world, how to feel better more of the time. So, as we move into the fall, I'd like you to reflect on that how much mindset training are you doing? How much are you going back to yoga philosophy, going back to a new narrative of your life? Going back to the ancient texts and really digging in to see if your mindset is lining up with what the ancient texts are telling us, because that is the deeper yoga. That's really where we're all headed. And I think, whether you're doing it for yourself or you're working with clients, that spiritual knowledge of how to get your mind straight is really what people are looking for very deeply these days. All right, everyone, thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you to our guests this week, and thank you to all of you who are listeners of the Yoga Therapy Hour. I'm not sure if you know, but I've had a life change in the last year. I'm now the chair of Yoga Therapy and Ayurveda at Maryland University of Integrative Health. We are having some changes there. In the fall of 2025, we expect that a full merger will have happened with Notre Dame of Maryland University, and we will become a graduate school at Notre Dame of Maryland University. We're going to be called the School of Integrative Health. If you're interested in a master's degree in yoga therapy, we'd love to talk to you. Or if you're interested in a post-master's certificate, meaning you have a master's in some other area, but you would like to now come and study therapeutic yoga, we would also love to have a chance to show you our program. We also have certificate programs in Ayurveda. So if you're interested, just come to www.theoptimalstate.com and find me, or you can look us up at Notre Dame of Maryland University. Until the merger happens, we'll still be over at www.muih.edu. Thank you for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.